I guess you could safely say we've got some significant challenges around at the moment, one way or another. And it's not just within the church. If you've been watching the news at all recently, you'll know that internationally, it's like everything around us is pretty much in a state of flux at the moment, if you know what I mean. Internationally, there are serious questions about some countries' sovereign debt. There are issues around the stability of different currencies. Stock markets have been in turmoil at various points during this past week. One stock market, I think it was the Dow Jones, actually dropped at one point by 1,000 points. They think they've got it down to user error. Somebody on a computer pressed the billions instead of the millions button and everything went haywire from there. But it's just extraordinary kind of scenes. And then nationally too, things have very much been in a state of flux. It appears that with the election, that nobody really won the election, and equally, nobody really lost the election, so which is just a bit perplexing to me. And as we look forward even to the week ahead, we couldn't really say who's going to be running the country. I was talking with a bunch of TSM students this week and just was saying to them, really, well, we don't know who's running the country, so it's good news that we do know who's running the universe. That comes as something of a relief. And then there are challenges for us too as a church. We've been under the scrutiny of both the local and the national press, which I have to say has been a bit of an education. A lot of people commenting about the King's Arms who don't know us and have never been here, but are kind of making statements. And then there's the refurbishment of the King's Arms building, King's House, as Simon mentioned. As my son looks at the pictures like that, and his phrase to describe them is that's mega exciting, Dad. That's the kind of thing that he says. But there's the small matter of the £275,000 that we've been hearing about. And we look at all of those different things, and I guess we look across the scope of them, and it sort of begs the question, how should we respond with all that's going on? Now that we're aware of these both these different opportunities, but also these different pressures, what should we do differently? As we look at these things, what is it we should do differently? And I would strongly say nothing. I actually think we should do nothing differently to what we've been doing before. You see, I don't think we should change our tune in any way. And the reason for that is that we have decided some time ago, we decided before all of these different pressures came along, how we wanted to operate as a church, the way we wanted to function, the values that we wanted to hold dear to. And we're not about to just drop those because there are different pressures that come our way. If you're new here, it's important for you to know that as a church, we sought to define the kind of culture that we want to have. And it'd be really worth you getting hold of the podcasts that look at the culture series. And we said that we want the King's Arms to be a place of acceptance, a place of authenticity, a place of generosity, a place of honour, and a place of courage. And that's how we're going to live. That's how we're going to approach this different season that we're coming into. That's how we're going to treat people both inside and outside the church. So we're going to treat our detractors, the people who would criticize us, with acceptance and with generosity. And we're going to treat them with dignity and honor, even if they don't treat us that way. But I guess as I look at all the different culture statements that we made, the things that we want to live by, I would say there's one that's really key for us at the moment, one that we definitely want to be considering, one that we would definitely want to be putting into practice in our lives. And it's that the issue of courage. I think perhaps more than anything at the moment, God is calling us to be a people of courage. I've been reading through Philippians recently, long before any of this stuff came up. And I've been really meditating on one verse in particular from Philippians that's really helped me during this interesting season that we're in. And so I just want to read it for you. I think I've got it for you up on the screen as well. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi. And he says this, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." And there's so much in this, just this one verse. But I just want to leave us tonight with three thoughts, if you like, as to what Christian courage should look like from Scripture in a season like this. The first characteristic of courage I would draw out from what Paul says here is that it honors Jesus. Paul says, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. In other words, Jesus has given his life for us, and therefore we should live our lives in reference to that. I guess giving your life for somebody has got to be the ultimate evidence of courage. A writer called Anne Lamott tells a story of an 8-year-old boy who had a younger sister dying of leukemia. And she writes, he was told that without a blood transfusion, his sister would die. His parents asked if they could test the boy's blood to see if it was compatible with his sister's. He said, okay. They did the test, and the blood matched. They asked if he would be willing to give his sister a pint of his own blood. That could be her only chance of living. He said that he would have to think about it overnight. The next day, he told his parents, yes, I'm willing to give my blood for my sister. So they took him to the hospital. He was laid on a bed next to his sister. And then the nurses hooked up the IVs and blood dripped into the bag that was going to be given to save his sister. The boy lay there in silence for some time until the doctor came over just to see how he was doing. And he wanders over to the lad and he says to him, how are you doing, son? And the boy opens his eyes, looks at the doctor, and says to him, how long until I start to die? You see, he hadn't realized that he was just giving a pint of blood. He thought he was giving his very life for his sister. That's courage, being prepared to give up his life for another. And of course, that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. Jesus bled and died on a cross for us. And we're meant to live our lives with reference to that fact. The deal is this. He gave up his life for us. And then as a response, we give up everything back to him. Everything. All of our dreams, all our aspirations, all of our plans, all of our time, all of our energy, all of our finances, all of our talents, everything goes back to him. He laid down his life for us, and then we give our lives back to him. As Paul puts it, live out a life that's worthy of the call that's on you. So that's the first thing I would say about courage, is it honors Jesus. It lives in reference to Jesus. There's nothing of our own anymore. Everything is given back to him. The second thing I'd say about courage from this short passage is this. The second characteristic of Christian courage is that it is steadfast. Put another way, Christian courage doesn't back down. Paul's writing to the church in Philippi whilst he's under house arrest. He's facing a completely uncertain future and in the end is going to be executed following his trial. Notice what Paul writes here, though. He doesn't say, I'm under threat here in Rome, Philippians. It's time to start writing angry letters or put together a petition or paint some placards and come and get me out of prison here in Rome. We don't demonstrate courage as Christians by being aggressively militant or anti-establishment. Now, don't get me wrong, there are times for Christians to protest about different things in order to sustain Christian values, but fundamentally, we're not anti anyone. We're not aggressive in our courage, but rather we are steadfast in our courage. We're people who stand firm, who hold the line. Christian courage is not anarchic, but rather constructive. Now, Paul says to the church in Philippi, above all else, stand firm. Paul's overwhelming concern for the Philippians was that they held their ground. Are you willing to hold your ground in the difficult times? Paul, put another way, Paul is saying to the church in Philippi, live out of your convictions, not out of your circumstances. As someone once put it, it's our stances that define us, not our circumstances. And we don't change who we are just because our situation changes a bit. Otherwise, we will be constantly shifting backwards and forwards according to how our situation in life is going, whether things are going well for us or badly for us. You know, 3 weeks ago, just less than that actually, I was on the holiday of a lifetime. We pushed the boat out, took the kids to California, saved up for a long time to go there, and 3 weeks ago, I was in Disneyland with the children. I fast forward 3 weeks, and I'm here in rainy Bedford. And I've had one of those weeks where everything breaks. Do you have weeks like that? The car is broken. The boiler is broken. The tumble dryer is broken. Went to cycle to the shops with my daughter yesterday because the car's broken. Went into the garage, went to get her bike out, and use your prophetic gift. What condition do you think my daughter's bike is in? Yeah, broken. Yeah, everything is broken. Politicians are saying, talking about broken Britain. You don't need to convince me. I know, everything is broken. Everything around me is broken. My circumstances now are completely different than my circumstances 3 weeks ago. Does that mean that my whole aspect on life, my whole perspective on life should shift and change? No. Because I'm meant to stand firm with the things that God has called me to, the things that God says. You know, your circumstances can change totally, even in just one phone call or one letter that arrives on your doormat or one conversation with people. You speak to an employer who says, congratulations, you've got the job. Your life changes. Or you speak to your boss who says, I'm really sorry, we're going to have to let you go. You know, speak to your wife who says, you'll never guess what, I'm pregnant. Or you speak to your wife who says, I've had a miscarriage. In a relationship, you have a conversation and you hear the words, will you marry me? Or you hear the words, I just don't think this relationship's going to work out. Or you're before the consultant in his room and he says the words to you, you're in the clear. Or he says to you, it's bad news, I'm afraid. You cannot live your life based just on your circumstances. Because they can change in a moment. I want so much more for you than that. To be tossed around backwards and forwards by the circumstances of life and the random situations you find yourself in. You have to live your life on something that's eternal. Something that's solid forever. And the only thing that is truly eternal is what God says about who he is and about who you are. I want us, during this season of life, to base our lives on the solid bedrock of who God is and what he's got to say to us. Because, quite frankly, everything else, to use a theological term, is a bit wibbly-wobbly. It really is. It comes from the Greek, wibbly wobblous. It's just totally unpredictable. You cannot trust your life to anything else. So I'm saying to you, in this season of life, will you stand firm? Will you hold to the things that God is saying? And then lastly, just the last thing I want to draw out from this short passage about Christian courage is Paul talks about loyalty amongst Christians. He says this, standing firm in one spirit with one mind. Now just to be clear, that doesn't mean to say that every Christian has to think the same way. We're not some sort of automatons who don't have opinions or views of our own. No, you'll know if you've made friendships of any sort over the years, you'll know that not everybody thinks the same way. If you're married here this evening, you'll really know that not everybody thinks the same way. We're all different. Even just taking a spectrum across this room tonight, I would guess that we've got most of the different political parties represented in terms of who we voted for this past week. And that's absolutely fine. There's no problem with that because we all think differently. Unless, of course, you voted for the BNP, in which case we need to have a little chat afterwards. But so it's not saying we all have to think the same way, but rather he's talking about we're of one spirit, we're of one mind when it comes to faith in Christ. It means he's saying we're in this together. He's saying, I want you to face uncertain futures corporately together. Paul's saying, have a faith in the gospel that draws you to one another. In other words, that this belief that Jesus lived and died for us, that having a relationship with God is possible, and that he wants to use us in some remarkable ways as part of his divine mission to rescue a messed up and dying world. That's what we stand firm in one spirit. We live in uncertain times. We don't know what's around the corner. We can't even really be sure of who will be running the country next week. But I do know that in the midst of all the challenges that we've got ahead, that we're meant to face them together. It might be that some of us, in the months and years to come, have to face redundancy or severe financial challenges. I want to say, let's do that together. let's stand together in our small groups and in the wider church to be supporting one another, be there for one another, practical financial support for each other. You know, in this church, we don't really do every man for himself. I much prefer what Proverbs 17:17 says. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Maybe in the months and years ahead, we're going to get to live that out, and there'll be nothing quite like it. We're on this adventure with God. He's giving us opportunities, but also we're coming under pressures that are all around us. In the midst of all of that, tonight I'm saying, let's demonstrate courage that honors Jesus, that's steadfast and immovable on the word of God, and lastly, that is loyal, even in the toughest of situations to one another.